177 going up to 187. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Mishra Kahe Shabatama Chaha Kitarame Apanaya Chaya Laha Jetama Ramane. Kashi Mishra then told Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everything belongs to you. What is the use of your begging? By your own will, you can take whatever you like. Ami dui hoi tomar dasha agakari, ye chaha she yagga deha kripa kari. My Lord, we are your two servants and are here just to carry out your orders. By your mercy, please tell us to do whatever you want. Eta kahi dui janna bita ila ila, kopi nata vani nata duhe sangye nila. Saying this, Kashi Mishra and the temple inspector took their departure. And Gopinath and Raninath went with them.
Gopinath dekaila shabha vasa thara, Maninath thai dila prasada vistara.
Gopinath was then shown all the residential places, and Raninath was given large quantities of food, Mahaprasad, left by Lord Jagannath.
Maninath aila bahu prasada pithalaya, Gopinath aila vasa samskara kariya.
Thus Vaninath Rai returned with large quantities of Lord Jagannath's food remnants, along with cakes and other good eatables. Gopinath Acharya also returned after cleansing all the residential quarters. So here it mentions cake. It's not exactly the cake that we speak of in English, like a fluffy, you know, sponge with cream on top. They didn't have ovens in that sense in those days, but pita is a Bengali series, like a whole category of sweets. They're mostly made with rice, flour, and stuffed with coconut and soaking kheer, cooked, not baked. So this is pita, though roughly translated into cake. Especially on Makara Sankranti Day, they make a big variety of these different kinds of pita and offer them. 182.
Mahaprabhu kahe shuno sarva vaishnavgan nija nija vasa sabe parha garman.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then addressed all the Vaishnavas and requested that they listen to him. He said, now you can go to your respective residential quarters.
Samudra snana kari kara chura darasan taba aji iha ashi karibhe bhajan.
Go to the sea and bathe and look at the top of the temple. After so doing, please come back here and take your lunch.
Prabhu namaskari sabe basate chalila, Gopinatha charya sabe basa sthana dila.
After offering obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees departed for their residences, and Gopinatha Charya showed them their respective quarters.
Mahaprabhu aila tabe hari dasa milane,
after this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to meet Haridas Thakur, and he saw him engaged in chanting the Maha Mantra with ecstatic love. Haridas chanted, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Prabhu dekhi pare aage dandavat haya, Prabhu alingana kaila tare uthaya.
As soon as Haridas Thakur saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he immediately fell down like a stick to offer him obeisances. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised him up and embraced him. So we'll come to today's verse with the purport, 187. So we'll do this responsively.
Dui jani prema beshe kare na krandane.
Dui jani prema
प्रभु गुण भृत्त विकल प्रभु वृत्त गुणे दुई जने प्रेम बेशे करे न क्रंदने प्रभु गुण भृत्त विकल प्रभु वृत्त गुणे दुई जना प्रेम बेशे करे न क्रंदने प्रभु गुण वृत्त विकल प्रभु वृत्त गुणे दुई जने प्रेम बेशे करे न क्रंदने प्रभु गुण वृत्त विकल प्रभु वृत्त गुणे दुई जन्य प्रेम बेशे करे न क्रंदने प्रभु गुण वृत्त विकल प्रभु वृत्त गुणे दुई जन प्रेम बेशे करे न क्रंदने प्रभु गुणे वृत्त विकल प्रभु वृत्त गुणे दुई जने प्रेम बेशे करे न क्रंदने प्रभु गुणे वृत्त विकल प्रभु वृत्त गुणे दुई जन प्रेम बेशे करे न क्रंदने प्रभु गुणे वृत्त विकल प्रभु वृत्त गुणे दुई जन प्रेम बेशे करे न क्रंदने प्रभु गुणे वृत्त विकल प्रभु वृत्त गुणे दुई जने both of them prema aveshe in loving ecstasy kare na krandane were crying prabhu gune by the quality of the lord bhritya servant vikala transformed prabhu the lord Vritya Gune, by the quality of the servant. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation, then both the Lord and his servant began to cry in ecstatic love. Indeed, the Lord was transformed by the quality of his servant, and the servant was transformed by the quality of his master. Purport, the Mayavadi philosophers say that the living entity and the Supreme Lord are non-different, and therefore they equate the transformation of the living entity with the transformation of the Lord. In other words, Mayavadis say that if the living entity is pleased, the Lord is also pleased. And if the living entity is displeased, the Lord is also displeased. By juggling words in this way, Mayavadis try to prove that there is no difference between the living entity and the Lord. This, however, is not a fact. In this verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, Prabhu Gune Vritya Vikal, Prabhu Vritya Gune. The Lord and the living entity are not equal. For the Lord is always the master, and the living entity is always the servant. Transformation takes place due to transcendental qualities, and it is thus said that the servant of the Lord is the heart of the Lord, and the Lord is the heart of the servant. This is also explained in Bhagavad Gita.
Ye yathamam prabadyante tamstathaiva bhajamyaham mama vartmanu vartante manishya sartha sarvashah.
All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. The Lord is always eager to congratulate the servant because of the servant's transcendental quality. The servant pleasingly renders service unto the Lord, and the Lord also very pleasingly reciprocates, rendering even more than the servant. This continues the description of the arrival of the Bengali Vaishnavas to Jagannath Puri,
They would come every year, ostensibly to see Ratiyatra, but more importantly than that, they were coming to have darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every year. So they've just all arrived, and the Lord is personally receiving all of the Vaishnavas and arranging for their accommodation and prasadam via his local servants, Kashi Mishra, Vaninath Rai, Gopinath Acharya, and the head of the Jagannath temple, who was instructed by Maharaj Pratap Rudra to give all facilities to the visiting devotees. So here, Kashi Mishra has taken, Gopinath has taken charge of the accommodation, Vaninath has taken charge of the prasadam, and the Lord has instructed all the devotees to go bathe, have darshan of the chakra on top of the temple. You go to your rooms, get settled in, take prasad, come back and take prasad with me, and then in the evening you will see later on that they all go together to have darshan of Lord Jagannath and perform kirtan in the Jagannath temple. So here the verses are describing the meeting of Haridas Thakur with Lord Chaitanya. So Haridas Thakur was keeping himself at a distance from the other devotees, and now once all the other devotees have departed for their rooms, Lord has gone to meet Haridas Thakur, and they're both overwhelmed in ecstasy, both from meeting each other and from chanting the holy name of the Lord. So Haridas Thakur, we know, was externally appeared by birth to be in a lower condition, having been born in a Muslim family, and therefore he considered himself unfit, unqualified, contaminated, and therefore he did not, even here it seems, he kept some distance from the large group of devotees. And Lord Chaitanya was asking for him, and someone pointed, "Oh, he's over there, he's on the road waiting to see you." And only now Lord is actually going to meet Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur also never went in to have darshan of Lord Jagannath. So on one hand, Haridas Thakur we accept as the Namacharya. You know, the Lord Chaitanya personally came to display the Yuga Dharma, chanting the holy name of the Lord, and he made Haridas Thakur the Namacharya, which is, you know, one of the highest positions we could imagine in our sampradaya. But simultaneously, Haridas Thakur, considering himself very fallen, he never tried to enter the temple of Lord Jagannath, fearing that he'll contaminate the priests. And he was very happy just to have darshan of the chakra and to have darshan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to engage in his service of chanting Hare Krishna. And so it's very insightful how Haridas Thakur would conduct himself in this way, because he had every right to think of himself as a very advanced devotee, chanting 192 rounds every day, which is pretty much inconceivable for any of us. And you know, here he's being personally embraced by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even prior to that, he was ecstatically chanting the Maha Mantra. So he had every right to enter the temple of the Lord. But the Vaishnava humility is such that the real Vaishnava always considers himself very fallen. And he'll find reasons to consider himself fallen. And in Haridas Thakur's case, it was his birth. So he used his apparent low birth to keep himself humble, so to say. And he would always remind everybody and himself that he is very fallen and lowly, therefore he's not qualified to enter the temple of Lord Jagannath. So this is very instructive. Sometimes there are some devotees also agitate that we should also have darshan of Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri, why the Vaishnavas from Western countries are not allowed. But if we take example from Haridas Thakur and even Sanatana Goswami, then we can be satisfied simply by having darshan of the chakra. Even here, Lord Chaitanya told the devotees, you take darshan of the chakra, and that's considered as good as having darshan of Jagannath himself. So Haridas Thakur, the personality of Haridas Thakur is very interesting, because on one hand, he's considered low-born, but on the other hand, he's actually an incarnation of Lord Brahma. Therefore, sometimes he's known as Brahma Haridas Thakur. And of course, Lord Brahma is the supreme person in this universe. So how is it that the supreme person, you know, the most senior personality, most high-born direct son of Lord Vishnu, has become, in this incarnation, he's become seemingly very lowly born. So this was actually Lord Brahma's meditation after he had committed the offense of stealing the cows and the calves and the gopas, the cowherd boys. Then he decided he wanted to take birth in a very humble station where he wouldn't be puffed up by being Lord Brahma, the supreme person in the universe, and therefore he couldn't recognize Krishna, and therefore he committed this offense, trying to understand who is Krishna, what's his personality, what will this little cowherd boy do once I steal all the calves and his friends. And so he was testing Krishna, and because he had some doubts about the personality of Krishna. So therefore he wanted to come in a very humble position where he can render some humble service, not having a big, you know, prestigious aristocratic family, rather being born in a very low, from a Vedic perspective, very low Yavana family, Muslim family. At the same time, Haridas Thakur is also sometimes described as incarnation of Prahlad. So exactly how that works, I'm quite sure, how someone can be simultaneously a incarnation of two personalities, but this is described that sometimes he is, generally he's known as the incarnation of Lord Brahma, and also additionally, incarnation of Prahlad. So Haridas Thakur's glories are described at length in both Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. And I found it quite instructive that both of these main biographical works of Lord Chaitanya have one entire chapter entitled The Glories of Haridas Thakur. So Chaitanya Charitamrita has Chaitanya Charitamrita Amchalila Chapter 3 is entitled The Glories of Haridas Thakur, and Chaitanya Bhagavat Adilila Chapter 16 is also The Glories of Haridas Thakur. So both the main biographical works of Lord Chaitanya devote at least one entire chapter just describing the personality of Haridas Thakur. And then we can also see how the two authors, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Vrindavandas Thakur, they have described different pastimes of Haridas Thakur in their respective works. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita we have one set of pastimes of Haridas Thakur, and Chaitanya Bhagavat describes the second and another set of pastimes of Haridas Thakur. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the chapter starts Lord Chaitanya would every day come to meet Haridas Thakur. That was part of his daily sadhana. He would personally come and meet Haridas Thakur and sit with him, discuss topics about Krishna. He also arranged Haridas Thakur's prasad every day. So on one of these occasions, Lord Chaitanya asked him, how can the Yavanas be liberated? So in the purport, Prabhupada describes that Yavanas doesn't refer simply to one particular religion or class of people, but basically any fallen non-Krishna conscious person could be called a Yavana. And so Haridas Thakur, they have a whole conversation. Haridas Thakur responds with the showing how even indirectly chanting the Lord's name, in this case especially Rama, the Yavanas can be delivered. So there's one term, haram, haram. Haram means forbidden or abominable, harami. So that can be taken as Ha Rama, O Lord Ram. And so Krishna, he always takes the positive. So even if someone is saying Rama in an indirect way, like Diorama, Panorama, so somehow or other they're saying Lord Ram's name, so such people will get benefit, spiritual benefit, will be delivered. And Lord Chaitanya asks, what about the living entities that, you know, they don't, the non-moving living entities, the trees and the plants, how can they be delivered? So Haridas Thakur says, by the loud chanting of the Maha Mantra, then the vibration reaches the living entities who don't move. The sthavara, the trees, the plants, they're also living entities, but in a very covered form, covered body, the consciousness is not very developed, but they also can be delivered by the vibration of the loud chanting of the Lord's holy name. Therefore, loud chanting is recommended. Then the chapter continues with the very detailed description of Haridas Thakur when he lived in Benapole, and he was tested by Ramchandra Pran by sending the prostitute to seduce him, but ultimately the prostitute herself was transformed and became a great Vaishnavi. Actually, I've been to that temple. That temple now is just across the border from India in Bangladesh. The temple of Haridas Thakur is still there, and the town is still called Benapole, where this pastime took place. And the prostitute is, her name is, was Lakshmi Hira, or in Bengali pronounced Lakhi Hira. So there's actually a very nice little ashram there, very close to the border, where even today you can go have darshan of the deity of Haridas Thakur and and remember the pastime of Haridas Thakur converting the prostitute Lakhi Hira. And after that incident, Haridas Thakur left that place, and he moved, which is just a few kilometers away. Was on the Indian side of the border, the town is called Haridaspur. So Haridaspur was on one side, and we had also a very nice ISKCON center there, quite also developed over the years. There also there's deity of Haridas Thakur. And when you cross the border into Bangladesh from that, that's actually the main border crossing between India and Bangladesh. So they actually stamp your passport Haridaspur on the Indian side. Exit Haridaspur. So it's really nice actually to have that. But the memory of Haridas Thakur stuck in your passport, crossing into Bangladesh. And well, this is a rickshaw ride, when you cross the border, it's just a rickshaw ride to the temple of Haridas Thakur, where he was residing, and where he delivered the prostitute. So that pastime is described at length in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then, when Haridas Thakur moved away from that place, he went to Chandpur, and he lived there with the priest of Hirani and Govardhan Majumdar. There is also a famous description of the assembly of brahmanas and scholars, and they asked Haridas Thakur to speak about the glories of the holy name. And the different scholars were giving their opinion. The holy name of the Lord can remove all sins, the holy name of the Lord can give liberation. And Haridas Thakur said, actually the real fruit of chanting, pure chanting the holy name is pure love of Godhead. Prema. And these other benefits, liberation, freedom from sin, these can be achieved by glimpses of the pure holy name. And that was where this statement was challenged by one very proud Brahmin, Gopal Chakravarti. And he said, you know, you're speaking nonsense, and I'll cut off your nose if these statements are not true. And Haridas Thakur said, that's okay, I'll cut off my own nose if these statements are not true. And so Haridas Thakur very conclusively, quoting many different verses, he proved that even the Namabhas stage is enough to give liberation. And as we know later on, that personality's nose melted off due to leprosy. And then later on, Haridas Thakur moved to be near Advaita Acharya, where he was tested by Maya Devi herself, but still wasn't tempted. And so these are the main features of Haridas Thakur's life that are covered in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in Chaitanya Bhagavad, there are some other stories which may be not so well known. The first, it starts off with when Haridas Thakur was arrested by the Nawab. So Haridas Thakur was known to be born in a Muslim family, but he was, you know, constantly in ecstasy chanting the holy name of the Lord. And this created some conflict in the administration, because the king, the Nawab, was Muslim, and they were actively trying to convert the Hindus to Islam. And this still goes on in Muslim-dominated areas, where there are also populations of non-Muslims. So in those days in Bengal, it was very easy to make someone Hindu into a Muslim. But for someone who was a Muslim to become Hindu was very threatening to them, because that was kind of going against their whole propaganda. So the Qazi, who was like the local administrator of the Nawab, he instigated the Nawab that we have to do something about this Haridas, that he's going to spoil our plans for converting all the Hindus. So therefore Haridas Thakur was arrested and put into jail. So in the jail there were many, it seems like many Hindus, pious people who had been arrested for various, not very serious offenses. When they heard Haridas Thakur was coming, they were very happy that they were going to have darshan of such a great sadhu. And so when Haridas Thakur came, they were all crowded around him. And he said, oh, it's very nice to see all of you. You should please remain as you are. You know, and they were hoping they were going to get some blessing to be released from prison. And so when he said, oh, just remain here as you are, they were kind of disappointed. And Haridas Thakur could understand this. So he said, no, what I mean is that now you're all together here, confined, and you have good facility to remember Krishna. Now you all come to me, remembering Krishna. So this consciousness, you should remain in this state of consciousness, whether you are within the jail or outside. And actually, don't worry, in a few days you'll be released, but that doesn't really matter so much. The important thing is that you should always keep this level of spiritual consciousness as you are here in the jailhouse. And when the guards took Haridas Thakur into the court, and the Nawab, everyone could see, just by looking at him, they could tell this is not an ordinary person. And they were all very impressed actually by his effulgence, you know, by his confidence, by his ecstasy. And only the Qazi was really determined that we have to punish this Haridas Thakur.
And so the Nawab, he questioned, you know, you've been
born in such a nice Muslim family, why are you taking up the practice of these inferior Hindus? And Haridas Thakur said, you know, I'm inspired, there's only one God, he's inspired me in this way. You know, you can't deny my right to worship the Lord in this way. You know, he was very openly and honestly explaining his attraction to the Lord's holy names. And he even said that, you know, even if you, they gave him a chance, you know, you should just reform yourself, give up this, otherwise we're going to be forced to punish you. As the Nawab even said, the Qazi is going to force me to punish you if you, you know, don't give up these Hindu practices. And Haridas Thakur said, whatever is going to happen will happen, but I cannot, even if you cut my body into small pieces, each piece will continue vibrating the holy name of the Lord. So Haridas Thakur was very, you know, nonchalant. He wasn't trying to save his skin. So then the Qazi ordered, the Nawab ordered that, okay, we have to make a public spectacle of this person. We need to publicly show anyone that if any Muslim converts into Hinduism, this would be his fate. So they gave the orders that he should be flogged in 22, I guess that must have been all the marketplaces of town, taken to each marketplace. Marketplace, you know, like a gathering place where the main shops are. People go there for shopping and hanging out. So that's the most public, like the town square, you could say. You know, that's where public events take place. So in every town square, marketplace, public marketplace of the city, Haridas Thakur should be dragged there, beaten, until he's dead. And of course we know how the guards were beating him in every marketplace, but Haridas Thakur was totally oblivious. He was simply continuing engaged in his chanting. And eventually the guards were like, you know, what are we going to do? You know, we're going to be punished if we fail in our mission. And they could see that Haridas Thakur didn't even have any resentment towards them. So they could understand his position. They said, Haridas, you know, we're sorry, but if we don't succeed in killing you, then we're going to, you know, our heads are going to be in danger. So Haridas Thakur, oh, okay, no problem. And he just went into samadhi and appeared as if he was lifeless. So then they took his body back to the court. They said, yeah, we did our job. Here's his body. So Nawab said, okay, now you just bury him. Because that's the Muslim practice, you know, burial. And the Qazi intervened, no, don't bury him. That'll be giving respect to him. And just throw his body, dispose of his body in the Ganga. And then it'll be lost. There'll be no chance of anyone even coming to his grave to pray or anything to remember him. So then they dragged him to the Ganga. And it says that the Lord actually entered Haridas Thakur's body, made it so heavy they couldn't move him. And somehow or other they managed to put him in the Ganga, and he just floated downstream, came out of his samadhi and emerged from the Ganga and continued on in his kirtan. Eventually the Nawab came to hear of this, and everyone knew that, you know, this Haridas Thakur had been beaten so badly that any other person would have died within two or three marketplaces, two or three rounds of beating. And eventually they all came to apologize to Haridas Thakur, and they recognized him as a great Chaitanya personality. And Nawab proclaimed that whatever you want to do, you go on. We will never put any restriction on your activities. We're very sorry for offending you. Please forgive us. And Haridas Thakur was very, he didn't have any grudges. Though later on, the chapter goes on to say that all those personalities who were torturing Haridas Thakur, they were all eventually ruined. And the Lord could not tolerate the offense made to his devotee. So after that, Haridas Thakur, he moved into a cave, and his fame was spreading, you know, and so many people were coming to see him. But in that cave, there was one very poisonous, not just serpent, you know, we think of snakes, like we see the snakes around here, little snakes or maybe pythons, but this was one of those snakes that had so much venom, like a naga, that the entire cave was polluted just by his presence. And anyone who came to see Haridas Thakur, they couldn't even stay there because there was so much thick poison in the air. It was, you know, they couldn't breathe. But Haridas Thakur was oblivious. He was able to just simply stay there and do his chanting. And eventually, the people requested, you know, please, you should move out of here. It's not safe for you. And it's not healthy. This air is poisonous. And also, no one could really come to see him. So Haridas said, oh, really? I didn't even notice. Anyway, in that case, if there's some snake living in this cave, you know, I'm not aware, but otherwise I'll move out tomorrow, or the snake, if the snake moves out, that's fine, otherwise I'll move out tomorrow. I don't want to inconvenience all of you. You shouldn't talk about such things. Just keep talking about Krishna. Keep chanting Hare Krishna. So right then and there, in front of everybody, this huge, multicolored serpent, which even had the jewel on its head. We hear sometimes the descriptions in the Shastra that these great nagas have jewels on their heads. And that, nowadays we don't see such snakes, but even 500 years ago, it appears that such snakes were still present and came out in front of everyone and left the cave. And so everyone could understand that, you know, this is just another confirmation of Haridas Thakur's potency, that just by his, you know, thought, that snake was, by the Paramatma and the heart of the snake, told the snake to move out. So as not to inconvenience the devotees coming to have darshan of Haridas Thakur. Then that story leads on to another snake pastime, where Haridas Thakur was witnessing the dance of one snake charmer. So traditionally India was the land of snake charmers. You know, nowadays in the modern era, snake charmers are not heard of so much. But even when I was younger in Gurukul, we had guys would come around to Gurukul with their baskets of snakes and display them to us. So there's some personality, he would do a snake dance, and by the chanting of this mantra, he was actually possessed, you could say. Maybe that has a negative connotation, but he was inspired by Lord Ananta, and he would sing and dance about Krishna's pastimes with Kaliya. So Haridas Thakur was witnessing this snake charmer sing and dance about Krishna and Kaliya, and there was a big crowd of people who had gathered to see the performance. And being reminded of Krishna and Kaliya, then Haridas Thakur fell into ecstasy, and he fell unconscious on the ground, and he was rolling around and jumping up and doing kirtan. And everyone was amazed, you know, to see Haridas Thakur's ecstasy. And they took his foot dust, and Haridas Thakur went on his way. And the snake charmer was also very, even though he'd been kind of inspired or possessed by Ananta, he stopped his performance when Haridas Thakur was in ecstasy, and he let Haridas Thakur come out of his ecstasy, and then he continued. Within that crowd, there was one Brahmana who thought, well, this low-born Haridas, he's getting so much respect and attention from this, you know, from the public. And if I were to fall into ecstasy like this, just imagine how much more they would respect me. So then, even though he had no such sentiments, he pretended. He also started to fall on the ground and roll around and call out Krishna, just imitating Haridas Thakur. But when the snake charmer saw this, Whereas for Haridas Thakur, he had respectfully let Haridas Thakur come out of his ecstasy. In this case, the Sanat Chandra grabbed a stick and started thrashing the Brahmana imposter. And very soon the Brahmana had to just run away screaming, you know, to save his life. So the crowd were all kind of puzzled. One in one case, the snake charmer, he let Haridas Thakur, express all his emotions, whereas with the second person, he simply beat him with a stick. So they asked him, you know, why did you beat this Brahmana? And then Lord Ananta, who was, you know, speaking through this snake charmer, he had an opportunity to glorify Haridas Thakur. And he said, this Haridas Thakur was actually feeling real ecstasy, and therefore, you know, his display was most purifying. But this Brahmana was simply an imposter. He simply wanted to get some cheap respect from everybody without having any such sentiments. So therefore I, you know, removed him. And he started to glorify Haridas Thakur, that just like Hanuman was born in a family of Vanaras, they're not exactly monkeys, kind of simplistically we say monkeys, but there's some kind of humanoid ape man, you could say, like Darwin's missing link, you know, was probably the runner class. Everywhere generally we call them as monkeys. And Kalab was born in the family of Asuras. So similarly, Haridas Thakur has been born in this Yavana family, just to show that having a high birth has no bearing on one's level of Krishna consciousness. It's not a prerequisite for attaining the Lord. Even someone born in a very low family has full right to practice Krishna consciousness. So, so he was glorifying Haridas Thakur like this. And we know how many times it's described that Lord Ananta, even with his thousands of mouths, he can never come to the end of glorifying the Lord. So similarly also, the snake charmer was saying, even to describe the glories of Haridas Thakur would take thousands of mouths. And so like this, Haridas Thakur was glorified in this incident also. Then a very similar, in the Chaitanya Bhagavad goes on, the chapter goes on, a very similar story to Gopal Chakravarti. Another time, one Brahmin challenged Haridas Thakur in a public assembly. Why do you chant so loudly? This is not recommended in the scriptures. Sometimes they would say that Lord Vishnu was sleeping during Chaturmasya 4 months, so that time especially we shouldn't do loud kirtan, it'll wake up the Lord and disturb him and he'll be upset. So Haridas Thakur was publicly challenged, and again he responded with many Shastric quotes, how loud chanting is beneficial. And again, this Brahmana was objecting and he was being offensive to Haridas Thakur, said, I'll cut off your ears and nose. You know, you're not qualified to speak on such topics. And again, in this case, actually, the other members of the assembly, they didn't protest. They didn't defend Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur left, and all those people, especially the main offender, they also had to suffer greatly. His nose also, he was attacked by smallpox and he lost his nose. So there are a couple of common threads between the two descriptions, the two chapters in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat about Haridas Thakur. One is about the loud chanting, and second is about the his relationship with Advaita Acharya. They were very close. He would stay at Shantipur often with Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya made one cave. I don't know exactly what he made a cave. He excavated some cave for Haridas Thakur to stay in, so they would spend a lot of time together. And these pastimes all happened before the manifest Leela of Lord Chaitanya. So Haridas Thakur was quite elderly compared to Lord Chaitanya. And of course, later on in Nantilila, we know how he passed away personally having darshan of Lord Chaitanya, because he didn't want to see the Lord's disappearance pastimes. So Haridas Thakur chose to leave his body earlier. One other similarity with Prahlad, mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, is that Prahlad was able to, even while Prahlad was being tortured by his father, Himikashipu, when Haridas Thakur was being tortured by the guards, being flogged, he also was able to constantly remember the Lord, just like Prahlad was able to remember the Lord while being tortured. So I just wanted to give a little summary of Haridas Thakur's amazing pastimes, and we can see how Lord Chaitanya appreciated him so much. The Lord was transformed by the quality of his servant, and the servant was transformed by the quality of his master. So Lord Chaitanya was transformed by Haridas Thakur's qualities, and Haridas Thakur was transformed by Lord Chaitanya's qualities. And they both began to cry in ecstatic love. Hare Krishna. Any further comments or questions or realizations? Yes.
I had two questions coming. One question that's always the whole idea of Hindus, they throw some contaminated water in the Muslims on Hindus and they become Muslims. It seems so silly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if someone does that to us, it's not like we would think, okay, now we're Muslim. Like, how did that work? And why would they change their faith because of that?
A lot of that goes back to the caste Brahmanas. They were so oppressive to the other castes that in some cases it was actually attractive for people to become Muslim, because you know the Brahmins would treat them so badly and restrict them so much, whereas the Muslims were more, you know, everyone's equal. Have equal rights. So I think that's one consideration.
That makes sense.
You know, to be a Brahmin, you have to be so pure, and they're so much above everyone else that even a little contamination, you know, would ruin someone's reputation as a Hindu.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I wanted to also mention, like Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they were also very high-class Brahmins, but they were rejected by Hindu society because they were ministers for the Nawab. And even Sanatana Goswami, he also didn't enter the temple, even though he was born in Saraswat Brahmin family, is considered the highest, you know, highest caste, but he considered himself for his whole life contaminated by his association with the Nawab, so he also didn't enter the Jagannath temple. Maybe you can give some comment on the water throwing, someone more familiar perhaps with the Bengali culture. Do you know? Anything to add?
Prabhupada says in the
commentary
the four way,
wait for the mic. Yeah. In one of the parables, how a adept Muslim was taking advantage of the Hindus. And one of the way Prabhupada says that they were telling them if they become Muslim, they don't have to pay tax.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way all the rich people, I mean, Ramchandra Khan, he was from Brahmin family. The Ramchandra Khan who tested Haridas Thakur, he was come from, he was worshipping Chandidevi. He had a when he turned up in later on, he still had the Chandidevi's temple in his ashram, even though he was, got a new name, Khan, Muslim last name.
Mm.
But he became Muslim because of taking advantage of this position. So that's one way. And then this water, we say Bhanganable, it's not the water Bhanganable, it's actually coming from the body of a Muslim person. So in other Hindus, they were so low material religion holder that they didn't think of eternal constitutional position of the soul, they are thinking of mostly conditional state and taking advantage of the scripture to purify the conditional state to something, another condition. Nothing to do with the constitutional. So as a result, when those vulnerable water, like urine and other, would thrown from a Muslim body to Hindu, no Hindu would accept it. Now it is nothing to do with this. And many examples like Subuddhi Rai, who went to Mahaprabhu, and he had the same problem. Subuddhi Rai was a royal king, but he would not be even to rule, what to talk about. Even his own family was rejecting him. So he went finally to all these big Hindu scholars, and nobody gave shelter. Only Mahaprabhu gave shelter. And of course the remedy they gave, if you look at the remedy in the Shastra, I mean, I respect Shastra, but some of the Smriti Shastra. He told to Mahaprabhu that they told him to eat hot ghee. Who is going to survive when you eat hot ghee, 5 kilos? Boiling ghee. Did you ever, anybody ever try it? Anybody ever know any story? You die instantly. What kind of remedy is that? I mean, I'm not against Shastra, I understand the Shastra is there. But it's like a very, so Hindus, they literally torture. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that the Brahmana is responsible for all these Hindus to take the shelter of Javana religion.
Yeah. She had another question. While the mic is going there, I'll just relate one incident. Again, a kind of residue of that caste consciousness. Once we went into the many temples, like Jagannath Temple, they don't allow the Westerners, not just Jagannath Temple, other temples in South India also, some of them. So I was with a couple of Gurukul boys and we went, no one stopped us, so we walked into the Guruvayur Temple. And, you know, we just kind of went into the courtyard before the main temple area. And we had heard that they don't allow, but they hadn't stopped us. But then someone came in and they told us to go out. And not just that they wanted us to go out, they wanted us to pay a purification fee. You know, but we had entered the temple area, so they had to do some special puja or clean the place. They wanted us to pay for that. You know, we're so far away from the real Krishna conscious perspective. If a Vaishnava comes somewhere, that place is considered purified. Not that we're very Vaishnavas, but just the principle was really kind of topsy-turvy.
They have like 24/7 pure time.
Maybe.
Put
away,
yeah.
Maybe you were, they could recognize you. I'm just telling what happened to us.
Long story. Because Shankaracharya was going in a flight. The standard that Guru Vayu has right now is established by Shankaracharya. Not as a Mayavadi teacher, but as a Vaishnava. I mean, he's a Shiva, and pay obeisances. But he was flying, and he forgot somewhere or other to pay obeisances. He was very heavy on preaching Mayavadi. And then he knocked out, he fell down, right in front of the Bodhi. And then he was crawling. He was very famous that time. Then he crawled all the way to come to Dubai. And then the Lord gave him mercy, and then the Pujari and Nada, they accepted to come in front, and then he realized his mistake, and then he just completed the whole process how to worship the Lord. And he spent a lot of time there. That was one of his life few incidents that made him reveal his inner nature, not circumstantial nature. The circumstantial nature was a
Okay, so the other question was, because you're talking about, you know, the power of the holy name and how even they chanted Amara, but Krishna, you know, and they were sinful, but Krishna accepted it and they became purified. But yet sometimes we hear that, you know, some of these kirtan singers who chant Hare Krishna, you know, Krishna Das or those others, that it doesn't have the effect because it's not coming from a pure source, so. So I'm just trying to understand what is the actual fact, because the example you gave, these people weren't, you know, they weren't devotees. They're chanting Mara, they knew what they're chanting, but it turned, you know, turned into to Ram Ram.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, that's why there are different levels of benefit from chanting the holy name. So the ultimate pure holy name will give Krishna Prana, And these other, like indirect, they can purify one from sins, and they can, you know, maybe give some kind of liberation from sins, but to actually get the pure holy name, that takes a lot more effort. Yeah. Like Ajamil, you know, he didn't actually go right back to Godhead after joining Narayan on his deathbed. He had to, you know, he didn't die. He had to continue with his sadhana. So I think that's also very instructive that, you know, we think, oh yeah, Ajamil went back to Godhead, but it wasn't right away. He had to, you know, he still lived some more years. He went to Haridwar, he engaged himself in service, and he repented all his misdeeds, and then he went back to Godhead. So, you know, it's kind of a loose term, liberation, you know, liberation from sin, or is it some kind of, you know, Vaikuntha liberation? But the real gem, the highest benefit from the holy name is Krishna Prema, and that takes pure chanting. Mm.
Thank you.
But would you not say also that, because he brought a good reference of Mara Mara Mara, so it is that, because Prabhupada says that without
Sambandha Gyan, nobody can invoke the absolute truth in the heart of conditioned soul. When Sambandha Gyan, when Narad Muni gave to Ratnakar Dasu, who became Valmiki later, but that Mara Mara became Ram, so because of the Sambandha Gyan, the mercy. So the cognizant potency and pleasure potency, what combines bhakti. Prabhupada gave a beautiful purport on that, chapter 7, Madhulila 99, that this, when we say we want bhakti, we want bhakti. What is bhakti? So bhakti combined of these two potency together, Prabhupada writes. So that two potency, in fact, the heart of Ratnakar Dasu, what caused him to become the greatest devotee, Mahabhagavata, Valmiki. The same thing, Krishna Das or others, I don't know who are the chanters, but if they do not have a pure Vaishnava guru, that chanting has no spiritual effect.
It's 9 o'clock, but no
time. There's some. Geez, I'm trying to remember where Nibbacharanam Chintamani. It's been quite a while since I read it. But there's a high level of japa where you chant within your mind. But it seems that chanting japa out loud is more benefit. And there's two examples with Shruti Kirti. I don't know where I saw this, maybe it's folio, but there were two times when Prabhupada chanted really loudly. When he left Grahastha life and he stayed at Gaudiya Math in Calcutta for 3 weeks, and then also when the whole Mr. Nair Juhu episode was peaking, and Prabhupada chanted super loud japa. You know, some of the devotees heard from his godbrothers from the Gaudiya Math in Calcutta. So, any comments on, you know, the loud chanting of japa? Loud chanting of kirtan, yeah, sure, but what about the loud chanting of japa as opposed to manasi japa?
I think for average sadhaka and iskon, loud chanting would be more engaging, because then you're engaging your ears also. You know, someone like Haridas Thakur could probably be fully fixed chanting, you know, silently or very softly. But like, at least you used to be in the temples that would Prabhupada japa tape, you know, he's chanting with the devotees quite loud, and you know, that's recommended in general.
I think that those two references, those two incidents in Prabhupada's life, that was to emphasize chanting louder than the mind. And that was the principle that Prabhupada, I remember just hearing that when I was a new bhakta. Yeah.
Haridas Thakur was chanting in three ways. Bhaktivinoda Thakur emphasized it. He said Bhaji, Upamsu,
and Manasi. Haridas Thakur chanted in three ways. Three lakhs in three different meter. Bhaji, loudly, Upamsu in the middle, and the Manasi in nine. He chanted three different. Bhaktivinoda Thakur very clearly explained this. But then Haridas Thakur question answer, as you mentioned in the class, very nicely. He quoted those Krishna, in the Chaitanya Chaitanya, also Chaitanya Bhagavata, There is a famous verse, Pasupakshi kita adi bolitana pare sunile harinam tarasave chale. Apani se harinam, apani jopile, apani kare, uccha sankirtane paro upakara kare. Those verses are there that if you chant loudly, then it benefits others beside you and engaging, as you said, that you are also engaged. And it is a satagun bare, 100 times more benefit than chanting in mind. Bare means increases. But then Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada also put, without being properly trained in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, one should not chant silently. This is in 3rd chapter Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada writes. It's not that we cannot chant silently, but we have to be trained enough in philosophy before we go there.
This is sort of a quick non-philosophical point, but at one point you're talking about, you know, the monkeys, alleged human monkeys, the Kimpurushas, I guess?
Yes.
As far as modern science goes, they're finding all kinds of, you know, alternate human beings, you know, fossils, for what it's worth, that were contemporary with modern forms. I mean, now it's not like anomalies on late night UHF channels anymore. It's kind of the mainstream anthropology that they're finding, you know, well, Neanderthals we're familiar with, but they're all varieties of what the moderns would call missing link type forms, all living at the same time in a fossil record. Hallelujah. You know, so it's kind of interesting.
You know what's that?
Hallelujah?
No.
Oh, wow.
King Purusa was, he's one of the dominant people.
Sadaputta Prabhu, I remember we had a talk and he told us, he said, if you break down the kin, what kind of human being? He doesn't say monkey. Where Hanumanji is right now, he's one of the Jambudi, Hari Barsha and Prahlad Maharaj is there. Right at this moment, you can literally go there, if you have a spiritual strength, you can go there and see them. But King Purusha Barsha, where Hanumanji is worshipping Lord Ram right now, and the whole planet is called King Purusha. What kind of being are there? Human being. It doesn't say monkey.
I guess that's how the translation is.
Okay, last comment.
The principle here of in the verse I was talking about how Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, by serving, he got the qualities, and by the servants, they got the qualities. That same principle is mentioned in Bhagavatam 1.2.16, Vasudeva. But it's such an important principle that I thought I'd just emphasize it for a moment. It says, by serving the servant of God, one can please God more than directly serving him. The Lord is more pleased when he sees his servants. Let's see. Maybe that's where it is. I got it someplace here. It's taking me a second. I had it a couple times, but I was waiting. Okay, here it is. By serving the Lord, one gradually gets the qualities of such servant, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of the Lord. So that the idea by whatever you're serving, whoever you serve, that's how you develop the qualities that you have. So, for instance, if you serve anger, you develop anger. We're always serving. We're eternal servants. So when you serve great devotees, you actually get these qualities from the great devotees. So therefore, it's set up to serve devotees. And then if you see someone who has a good quality and you serve that person, you get that quality. And of course, the opposite is there too. If you see someone's bad quality, you get that quality too. If you go to 117, so it's a 22 or 23, the identifier, he gets the qualities of the one who he's identifying. So it's such a nice principle to recognize what you're seeing, what you're going to get.
Thank you. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki Prabhupada ki.
My mom is Australian.
You know what I mean?
My mother was Australian.
No, but they come from England.
Yeah.
Why is that? Are you English?
My mom was Australian, my dad's Indian.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, that's it.